Blog Talk Radio.
Oh boy.
Merry Christmas. Oh my goodness, there's something in my throat. The heck is it? I got something in my throat. What is it? Can't get it out. Let's try this. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I think I got a song stuck in my throat. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. Christmas music's driving me nuts. I hear it when I'm shopping. I hear it in the mall. I hear it on the radio, and I can't take it no more. So I'm taking my axe. I'm heading downtown. I'm gonna hack all those loudspeakers down. Christmas music's driving me nuts. Everybody, we hear it when you're shopping, the same songs every year. I think I'd rather have you shove a chainsaw in my ear. So we're forming a mob, we're doing it right. We're gonna have us a real silent night. Christmas music's driving me nuts. I said Christmas music's driving me nuts. Let me at those speakers and that DJ. Okay. I think I got the song out of my throat. Okay, so my wife was kind enough to buy me Argo swag. So I figured we'd talk about our swag, the new swag we got. You could talk about old swag, Christmas presents, your favorite shirt, your favorite logo, your favorite team, your favorite this, your favorite that, whatever it happens to be. Let's talk about Christmas present, Christmas past, and without being insulting to the people who purchase presents for you, let's talk about Christmas future. So, you know, we can throw in a little bit of football, a little bit of lacrosse. This is our first Christmas show of the year. I guess that makes it the only Christmas show of the year. We'll be back to the regular routine on Friday and Monday. And then Wednesday, we'll have our New Year's show if I can. I may or may not be able to do it. We had a debate today. I won the debate. And the debate went like this. Okay, Mom and Dad left. You can do the show. And that's how the debate ended. So joining us now, I think, this could be trouble. I know I got John Granger in here. Who else do I have in here?
R.J. Emery.
R.J., are you going to do a bunch of swearing now? Are you in a bad mood?
No.
Oh,
no.
You're good?
John's on the phone, and you know, like, every time I start talking, he's like, there's technical difficulties going on here.
Good one, Robbie. Good one.
I'm just going to be quiet and listen to this conversation, and if you guys want to ask me any questions, feel free.
Okay, I got a question. Why do feel the need to be quiet?
Well, because every time I talk, John does that.
Oh, please.
Or whatever.
Cry me a river. Cry me a river there, Robbie. Let's get the tissue out. Come on. One time I mentioned that your sound in the background or something, and now you're crying about it. Oh, my God. Merry Christmas, by the way. I'll buy you a box of tissues next time, all right?
Merry Christmas, Granger.
All righty there, Rob.
All right, did you have a good one?
Good thing about Christmas, the Red Blacks are in the CFL. That's all I got to say. That's the only good thing. Argos, my Tie Cats, every other team better watch out.
Yeah, we're going to watch out for you in last place. Don't worry about it.
Oh, come on. Let's have some Christmas spirit. I didn't say
the entire league last place, did I? No.
Oh, my God. It's not getting better. John, you know, don't lay it on too thick because they might beat us. It would make Pottinger and Appel very happy.
Oh, well, you know, people can dream.
Oh, yeah, Pottinger.
And
he
they
plays
will.
For us, eh?
Yeah,
they will
he
what,
does.
Dream?
For us, eh?
Yeah, my family. I got my family
yeah,
joining
he was
team.
On, he was on the show a couple weeks ago, and I talked with him, right?
Right.
No.
Yeah,
was
I remember that.
That was Pottinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did talk.
We picked up a lot of good CFL, like John Dillahunt, who I know him from the Ottawa Sooners as I was the equipment manager while he was a player, or something like that.
Hello,
Mike. You asked if we were doing a show tonight, so I thought I'd give you a call, let you know we're doing a show tonight. Emery, let him know we're doing a show tonight.
Mike,
I got
we're doing
Mike Townsend's
tonight,
answering
buddy.
Machine.
Mike
Townsend's
Mike,
answering machine.
Mike, hold on a second, bro. You're on Candid Live Frank show right now. Where are
That's
you?
It's a lot like Candid Camera.
Candid Camera. You're on Candid Frank right about now. So
there
you
go.
Know, next time, pick up your phone. Is that good, John?
That's perfect, Rob.
All right.
You want to add your 2 cents?
No. I only got 5.
Okay. So, I guess I better hang up on the answering machine. There we go. All right. Hung up on the end. He asked if we were going to do a show, and we had company, and my wife said, you know. Don't you love when women say, yeah, no? They tease.
Yeah, no.
That thing that they don't, yeah, no. But anyway. So, anyway, she got me a nice present-day Argo hat.
Oh, there you
nice,
go.
Nice fancy schmancy hat. And she got me the boat logo.
Oh!
Oh, no.
But not the right boat logo.
It's okay. What, the blue one?
Yeah. The old one.
Well, it's
the
not old. It's actually... Well, you're right. It is old one. It is old one. They brought it back in 96.
For 1 year.
On the letterhead. Just on the letterhead.
Easy, buddy. I'm going to wear it with pride. I'm going to wear it with pride. Never
there
make fun or insult a gift from someone.
No.
Or they may
not
never
in front
gift
of them
you,
anyway.
Or they may never gift you again.
Now, can I ask you guys a question here?
Sure.
Okay.
I seen something, I think it was on Facebook or something, Marcel Belfoy's father was saying, congratulations, Marcel. What happened with, like, did he get... Is he still a coach out in Winnipeg? Is he still the offensive coordinator? Or what happened?
I think he is still the offensive coordinator. I think he is.
Okay, yeah, because I talked to his father all day, and he was just like, oh, congratulations, Marcel. And so I'm like, well, what happened? Did he get it? Like, is he here in Ottawa or whatever, you know?
Well, he got to stay in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think he's staying in Winnipeg, and I think he is going to be the offensive coordinator there.
Okay,
again.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I think, guys, when O'Shea got hired, you know, he said he's still got to put his crew together.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The guys who were left from last year, you know, were not given any sort of green light until it was made official. Because
okay,
he gets to pick his crew, right? So.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about it, you know.
Yeah. Good point.
All right, tell me about, did you guys get any swag, any CFL swag this year?
Well, my mother-in-law came in and she did a surprise on us. She gave us a whole basket of Argo stuff which surprised the hell out of us, and that was really nice. So we got a whole bunch of Argo goodies in this basket. It just a whole variety of things. I mean,
That sounds great.
It does. It does. I was a little bit surprised coming from her. So you never know.
Yeah, okay. What kind of stuff was in the basket? You don't have to tell us everything, but...
Okay, well, like a variety. Bumper stickers, facial tattoos, body tattoos with Argo logos on it, keychains, glasses, cups. Let me see, what else was there? I mentioned keychain. Notepads. Argo notepads is like a booklet. Like I said, it's like a... It's like it's a basket of variety of Argo swag, all bundled up in a nice package. It was really, really like a gift basket.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I loved it.
So you're ready for the new year. Now,
I'm ready for the new year.
RJ, did you get any swag?
Well,
and gifting yourself the swag is good too. That counts.
Yeah, one of my friends who knows I'm an Ottawa Rough Rider alumni. I worked for them in this net. He bought me this an Ottawa Rough Rider helmet, but it's in like a clock. But it's like the helmet, but it's a clock, right?
Okay.
And yeah.
Is there a red black?
No, Ottawa Rough Riders.
Oh, Rough Riders. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ottawa. You know, I'm not giving up on that team. That's my team. He got me the clock of the Ottawa Rough Riders. I'm like, sweet.
Okay.
And that was it. And the biggest swag today was the phone call from Candid Frank.
Oh.
Oh yeah, saying Merry Christmas and all the best. And
you're not a guy that needs to be pleased with a lot, do you?
Oh, geez.
Not at all, John.
If a call from Frank, that's all it takes?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm
hurting
like
now.
That was good.
I'm hurting now.
Are you like that one, Frank?
Oh, it was lovely.
That was good.
Oh, that's just one. We got to at least go. Until the phone dies, anyway.
Yeah, until the phone dies.
That's right.
So that's it for the swag that you guys got.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned
I got a hat. I got a T-shirt, I think, and what I got was really neat. I got a pullover sweater, you know, with the hoodie.
Nice.
And the thing I really liked is, and I should go downstairs and get it and read a few of the things. She got me a book with famous sports quotes.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's going to come in handy.
Yeah, she says, Frank, you can use it for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, now that I told everybody, it kind of ruins the whole purpose of the book.
Nah, but, no one's listening.
Well.
Don't worry about
You'll forget about it by next week.
Did they have the quote, wah, 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 with an Argos logo around it?
No, they had one with the red-black logo.
Wait, hold on. Oh, Robbie. Oh. By the way, listeners, Robbie's here all week long, in case you're interested.
This is going to end up being a half-hour show. You guys keep this up. Holy crap. Nasty, 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 you guys.
I'm just totally nasty. You know that.
Yeah, no, I know. All right, so I'll tell you what then. Then we'll talk about, Aaron is in Nova Scotia. If he's tuning in. I don't know where Jared Harris is, but I'm sure it's not near a phone, and I'm sure it's with family, and I'm sure he's having a great time.
And a beer.
And a beer, yes. Got to have
and
beer.
A beer. So did you hear my song?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear my song, RJ?
No.
Really?
I did not.
I rehearsed so many times. I wanted to get it. It's a song I just learned today. Actually, about an hour ago, an hour and a half ago, I learned it. And not much to learn, really, truly. Actually, very, very simple song. And, well, Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll embarrass myself and put it on again.
Okay. You
are you ready?
That.
It's only a minute.
Ready.
I'm ready.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. Christmas music's driving me nuts. I hear it when I'm shopping. I hear it in the mall. I hear it on the radio, and I can't take it no more. So I'm taking my axe. I'm heading downtown. I'm gonna hack all those loudspeakers down. Christmas music's driving me nuts. Everybody, we hear it when you're shopping. The same songs every year. I think I'd rather have you shove a chainsaw in my ear. So we're forming a mob. We're doing it right. We're gonna have us a real silent night. Christmas music's driving me nuts. I said Christmas music's driving me nuts. Let me at those speakers and that DJ.
Oh! Woo-hoo! Bravo!
I will be keeping my day job.
Bravo,
Franco. Bravo. Very good.
That's,
I got,
you, sound...
you know, it doesn't
one
matter
more
how...
time now. No,
no please. Enough already. My ears are bleeding as it is. I actually have to listen to it again. Different the first time I did it, I was just singing. Now I'm listening to it. So we can talk a little bit about the Red Blacks. The Red Blacks are on the move. What do you like that's going on right now? Robbie?
Well, yeah, go ahead, Robbie.
Oh, sorry.
Go for it, John. You take care of it.
No, I didn't. You know, I was just going to throw another rub in there, but, you know, I don't think I want to do that. Go ahead. I'll start the conversation. Okay, I'll do it anyway. The good thing is about the Red Blacks right now, they're not last yet.
They're tied for first.
They're tied for first.
Tied for first. And,
really?
Yeah, really? Come on, John. You got to get better than that, bro.
Well, it's Christmas. I'm not trying to be hard on you.
No, you ain't going to be hard on me.
Oh, I can be hard on you, Robbie. I'm just on the air, so come to the game and I'll give it to you good.
just wait till the season starts and
uh-huh.
The Blacks end up like winning like three quarters of their games.
Yeah.
And,
well, Robbie, you know what? The best part about the season not starting yet is that you can talk like this right now.
Yeah.
But once the season starts.
Wouldn't that be something? Hey, here I am talking shit about, oh, yeah, Red Blacks going to be winning all this and all that. And watch them end up going like 0-18 and be like.
Well, no, it won't be 0-18. They're going to win at least two games against the Tie Cats.
Oh, yeah, they're going to beat the Tie Cats.
Oh,
they're
going to
beat the Argos.
Maybe three.
So we'll say four there.
Uh-huh. Did you get your friends to get season tickets already or what? Are you buying?
No.
Do you guys have a supporter section or what's going on with the Red Blacks?
I don't know. I posted something up on Facebook to say to a bunch of my boys, like, let's all get together, get our own little Red Black section. And, you know, this way, you know, we have our own section.
You know, they're not going to do that probably, Robbie, because, you know, in the inaugural year, when they start things up like this, the tickets are in demand. And, you know, the organization really has no, let's put it this way, motivation to have to kind of put something like that together because people are just buying the tickets. And people in sales are not trying to think of, you know, orchestrating
a
supportive
section.
I'm
not going to go down, throw down $25 for a set of season tickets because it's like $800 to fucking go watch a game, you know?
Yep.
I'd rather, what's that?
Yeah, well, Ottawa's going to be expensive. I saw their season ticket prices, and they
yeah,
are not
well,
cheap.
I'd rather just be sitting at home on a Saturday saying, okay, Redbacks play the Argos today. Yeah, I want to go check it out. You know, go down there, go to the ticket office, say, yeah, I'd like to get a ticket, please. Boom, yeah, it's like $20. I'm like, all right, boom, here you go. Thank you.
Well, you're not going to get it for $20.
What's that?
You're not going to get a ticket for $20.
or however amount it is.
I think your cheapest season ticket is somewhere around the $600 range, if I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
But no,
so, I'm talking like single ticket.
Well, a single ticket's going to cost you about $60, I think, the cheapest one in Ottawa.
Yeah. $60 for one ticket.
Yeah, I think well, if you can get them, you know, because like I said, the anytime, especially, you know, football not being in Ottawa since 2006, I think it was, they're gonna have large crowds. I mean, I'm anticipating, you know, large crowds.
Well,
I went to the
introduction of the Ottawa Red Blacks, and we had about maybe 8-9. Maybe 1,000 people there just for the introduction of it. And we had, like, Tony Gabriel there. I believe there was Jeff Avery, Kenny Brer, Darren Joseph, Mark Pilon. You know, we had a bunch of the old Ottawa Rough Rider players there. And it was good to see them, you know. But, yeah, it was like 1,000 fans to come support your new Ottawa Red Blacks, and it's, you know, but, you know, you got a bunch of people talking shit about it, saying, oh, Red Blacks, they need to find a new name, they need to,
Well,
like,
Rob, you got
to
understand something, okay? With all the variations of logos that are out there and the creativity that, you know, marketing firms have now and the technology that they have to create a new logo, going to a letter, to me, was pretty lame. I know that's their tradition, and R stood for the Rough Riders, which that's what it stood for, fellas,
not for
Red Blacks.
No.
So I don't know. I'm not a fan of a letter. You know, the A is not a fan of mine. I think, you know, back in the day when in the 50s and 60s when they came up with these letter versions, there were no marketing firms for sporting franchises and stuff that went out there and said, look, this would be the best logo, this is what's going to sell, okay? It looks good, it sounds good, people want to wear it. Now, these days, you know, they could have done something better, and the name, you know, after a while, it kind of clings to you. But it doesn't go off the tongue very well. It doesn't feel like it's something you can chant, you know? So,
yeah.
I can understand those people who are disgruntled with the name. But what's done is done, and they're going to have to go. I think they're going to do better this time around with it, because you don't have all these negatives with crappy owners and, you know, the fan base that was not happy. I think this time around it's going to be done better regardless of what the name is. But I get it, Robbie. You know, I could see why the diehard Argo fans, but football fans in Ottawa – we're, I think, expecting a little bit better than Red Blacks, you know. And why go with a letter? I mean, there's so, you know, Rutgers is a letter. You know, when the Argos want to stick with the A, or, you know, when they have a chance to switch to something else, you go with something that doesn't resemble another team, you know. It's not going to win you fans by having a logo that looks like something else. Now,
yeah, but wasn't Ottawa the first team to come up with Rough Riders when they had the horse on the side of their helmets and the guy riding the horse?
Well, the Rough Rider name and the way that thing happened with the Sketch One Rough Riders and the Ottawa Rough Riders.
Yeah,
I think Christopher Jones, I believe he's the one who came, or maybe it was Manesse who came up with the story, the legitimate story.
Yeah.
There was a break. You know, when there was a war, and I think there had something to do with it, where one team didn't start up and the other team took the team. I don't know what the details were, but
anyway.
I thought it was a pretty
Ottawa
much of a joke.
Ottawa had it first. Ottawa had it first.
Yeah, Ottawa had it first.
And then, they closed shop in the war, and Saskatchewan, it was Rough Rider for a different reason, but Rough Rider nonetheless.
Right.
That's why the space and all that stuff was the difference.
Right.
And then while there was no Ottawa Rough Riders, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders became what they are.
And then Ottawa came back and didn't want to give up the name that they had originally, so they both ended up with the name. I just don't understand why the Rough Riders in Saskatchewan were born with that name. That, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And, guys, having two teams with the same name was good in a way. It brought publicity to the CFL when, you know, like on the Johnny Carson show back then when – or even now on the Leno and so forth, when you got, you know, they bring up the CFL. If you got Martin Short who comes on as a guest and so forth, they bring up the CFL and they mention, isn't that the league with the two names, and they couldn't figure out, you know, so it turns into a joke, right? And I never liked it for that reason. It did give it publicity for that reason, but it wasn't for the good reasons. You know what I mean? So it's good that they didn't go back to Rough Riders. I'm glad they did go to something else, but...
So they're the Red Blacks. They're the Red Blacks, and the Red Blacks is what they are, and that's what they're going to be, and that's all good. It's all good.
So Robbie,
okay,
what's the chance for Red Blacks?
Let's move on to the discussion as far as the cost of the tickets. While you guys were chatting, they run for regular seating. They're like $430 a season ticket, down to about $250. Where we sit, John, relatively to where we sit, they might be. Yeah, about the 25-yard line. The tickets there, they have what they have at the very bottom, right? They don't have the thing that we have, right? Those are $430, and just above where we sit, it's the same price. And they go down to $322 in the end of the first part of the section. So, yeah, the prices are a little more expensive, but that's to be expected with the new stadium, the new team, and the excitement generally around Ottawa. So people will be willing to pay a little bit more. It's the old supply and demand. Right now the demand is very high because of the newness of the stadium, the team, and the hope. And, you know, there's nothing to believe that they're going to be a crappy team, right? Until they're crappy, nobody believes they're going to be crappy. So here's hoping they're not, you know, because it'll be great for Ottawa and great for the league if they work out. Now, the important moves that they made this past week is they've added more coaches. Which to me is awesome. What do you think of the new coaches you've got, buddy?
That's you, Robbie. See,
Robbie?
He left us already.
Did he leave? Well, that's not nice.
Taking a nap.
I had a serious question for him.
Well, he's not going to give you a serious answer.
I'm sure he is. So I'll answer. I guess I'll answer for him. First of all, it's awesome that they ended up with Gibson. A lot of experience. They've got a lot of offense. I've noticed he really did bring in some experience on offense. And I think that's a good thing, obviously, starting with Gibson. Let me read out the names for you. I'll go over to...
Honestly, Frank, I don't know these guys. All I know is that coaches
should,
are picked.
John, you should know them because they're
yeah.
The experience is amazing, actually.
Well,
that they have.
That's where it counts. Okay, I think that's where they have to get the experience in there. They got to get a coaching staff that has to build chemistry with these players instantly. You know, you usually go into a season where you have players that have been with the team for a few years and kind of help the other players out to get into the kind of the team or you know, the way that it's structured, what they do and so forth. Now it's all from start one, and the coaches have to get so involved with this kind of stuff. You know, usually you can take one or two players by the side and kind of bring them in if they're new or whatever to the team. Now it's like everybody's new, Frank. I mean, you know, everybody's going to be showing where the washrooms are.
Let's start. Okay, they've got eight hires. Let's look at the eight hires and what they're telling us about them. The offensive coordinator from now on in Ottawa is going to be Mike Gibson, okay? And he's
wherever
been...
Wherever the hell he is.
Oh, you're back.
This will be his 11th season in the CFL. He spent the past three seasons with Calgary.
Okay.
He was the offensive line coach, all right? And also, you know, on the same team as Campbell in Calgary, obviously, who was the defensive coordinator.
So I guess we
now,
got
he
all...
Also, he also coached the running backs for the Stamps. He also was in Hamilton for 2 years as the offensive coordinator in 2009 and 2010.
Okay.
In addition, he also was in Calgary and Hamilton
Gibson has been a CFL coach in Saskatchewan. He helped them win the Grey Cup in 2007. He was in Winnipeg, where he served as offensive coordinator and offensive line coach in 2005 and 2006. And before the CFL, he was at Rutgers with the NCAA.
Okay.
Colgate, Temple, Rice, Boston University, Western Maryland. That's a guy with a lot of experience. And I'm sure they didn't understand everything that he did. So this is a guy that understands the offensive side of the ball. He understands the quarterback system, how it works. And it doesn't surprise me that Campbell, a defensive guy, would bring in – he brought in quite a few offensive guys, actually, that have had experience as offensive coordinators. He has a defensive coordinator in Mark Nelson. Nelson is in his 26th season as a coach. And at the as in the professional collegiate, he comes from the Montreal Alouettes, where he handled the linebackers. He's from Edmonton, so he understands the Canadian game. Yeah, there's a lot of experience. A lot of experience. So you don't know this guy, Mark Nelson?
No, I know Mark Nelson. I don't know him a lot about his coaching tactics and stuff like that. I mean, most fans, and including myself, I don't get into too many details about the coaches, right? So,
his experience. So what they're doing is they're coming in with guys with a lot of experience, and a couple of these guys are gonna. I believe what'll happen is they'll end up with the team as consultants, so that they can enjoy, not a retirement, but getting back out of the limelight. Because I happen to believe that the best coaching staffs and management staffs have people that you don't even know are doing the job, which allows them the ability to do the job without distraction. And I think that the perfect example is that dude who's the consultant in Hamilton. If his name was out front, that team would be dogged by the history that guy had. But instead, benefiting from his knowledge, experience, and his ability to recognize talent.
We're talking about Tillman, so everybody knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Didn't this Mark Nelson coach? Did he not coach a USA team when they came in? I think it was Memphis or. Mark Nelson, he coached the
San Antonio Texans.
That's it, the San Antonio Texans. Yes, he was the offensive coordinator for them. Because I remember when San Antonio came down to here to Ottawa, Mark Nelson was the coach and he had long blonde hair. I remember him.
And he coached the Argos in 1996, which happened to be a year they won the Grey Cup.
Okay. So what, now you're saying that if the coach has won a Grey Cup, it's a good thing?
Why, is it a bad thing? When did you
Or just because, he coached the Argos and they won a Grey Cup?
No. I could say the same thing if it was I would say the same thing if it was Saskatchewan that he won the Cup with.
Yeah, no. No, I hear it.
We're talking about
Edmonton.
From Calgary,
he won a Cup
right?
Edmonton in 1993.
Yeah, he's a good coach, though.
The whole point is that these guys are very, he needs to have experienced guys because of the team's lack of experience and because the management team, like I said, it's more than about the guys that you read about. It's also the guys you don't read about.
Yeah.
And they need to have some of those, and they will next year, and they will the year after that if they bring in guys with a lot of experience. I'm not saying looking to retire, but don't want the frontline pressure. You have to have those kinds of guys in an organization. The guys that actually do the work and aren't distracted by the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
The Argos have guys like that, John. We might joke about it, but there's a lot of guys that hang around. Prefontaine is a perfect example.
Noel.
Yeah. He's neither a coach. Well, I guess he is officially. Is he officially a coach?
He's a cheerleader.
Yeah. Yeah, but he actually teaches guys stuff on the field, John.
Yeah.
I'm there and I watch it happen. So I guess what I'm trying to say is he's one of those guys that loves being around the team, has no official function, but he is there to help, do some of the grunt work that the coaches can't do.
I think he's been a great benefit to Swazi Waters, and you know, if he's just been a great, you know, a nurturer or a teacher or whatever you want to call it. You can see, by Swazi's, you know, talent. He put it all together. I mean, this guy's got a great leg. It's just a matter of getting focused, and there's certain techniques that Prefontaine, you know, has mastered in pressure situations and stuff, and he's great for that. I mean, you're right, Frank, and those kind of people don't get recognized too often. They're behind, like Moss. You know, we got Coach Moss, quarterback's coach. We never hear about him on the Argos, you know.
Nope.
Because of
Joe
Ricky
Moss?
Ray's – what's that?
Joe Moss?
Yes.
Yeah, he was quarterback, was he not, for the Ottawa Roughriders, I believe.
For Edmonton.
Edmonton.
Yes.
And Ottawa, no?
No, I don't know about Ottawa. I don't remember him in Ottawa, but he could be Ottawa. I don't know. I don't think he – yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure, because for some reason, when you say the name, the last name Moss, Joe Moss rings a bell into my mind.
Yeah, the only guy I remember quarterbacking for the Renegades was Joseph, and he's still around.
No,
so
for the
Roughriders. Well, no, it was for the Renegades. Renegades,
no,
buddy.
For
Renegades.
Yeah. Kerry Joseph.
Yeah, it's Kerry Joseph, quarterback for the Renegades.
Yeah, Josh Rennick as a running back. Guy's a little friggin' machine.
So experience is really important, and you know, then they've got their special teams coordinator and running backs coach, Don Yanowski. He's only been coaching for 31 years.
Only?
That's it?
Now, yeah, just 31 years. You know, what does he know about coaching?
Oh, shit.
You know what
nothing.
I mean? You know, and his he was in Calgary as the linebackers coach, you know? So
well,
a lot of experience.
They're definitely going to get respect, you know, from the players.
Well,
you know,
they're going to get a good young thinking coach, head coach in Campbell, and it's going to be augmented with some experience that these guys are offering, which I think is a nice blend. They have quarterback coach Marcus Crandall, a well-known name. He's only 39. You know, he coached in Edmonton, Saskatchewan. Again, another offensive guy.
So they all done, Frank? Are they all coached out? Like, I mean, have they
well,
filled
they,
all the
they
business?
Hired. They got another guy, receivers coach, Travis Moore. This is a fairly young guy in the coaching ranks, 43 years old, out of Santa Monica, California. He was with the Ticats as a running backs coach, BC Lions for 3 seasons as coach for the receivers, and and last year he was a receivers coach in Edmonton.
Okay,
he played
I didn't
CFL.
I didn't even realize that we can afford that many coaches on a CFL team.
Like I said, John, there's a lot of guys. You don't hear about the work they do because, you know, basically, I mean, whenever.
That's why we don't hear about it. You know, we just care about the performance on the field. Guys maybe talk about it, right? But most people.
I like to share this information with the folks out there because.
No, good.
Some people like to hear new stuff and you know, maybe can't be bothered to read about it. So, you know,
well,
they listen to
no
the program
to bother,
and we try to give them
Frank,
information.
Yeah,
I mean,
no one
some
wants to bother giving
the
information. That's why you're good to do that. Yeah, I don't mean that nobody cares now. I'm just saying that's the reason why we don't hear about these guys. Is
that's
because,
okay. And for example, how many people know that there's a defensive backs coach? Ike Charlton. I loved this guy when he played.
Charlton, he played Montreal, no?
Well, he came to Ottawa. Hang on, he played in Winnipeg. He coached in Edmonton, and I'm looking here, and I know he played, but I can't see what team he played for. Oh, here we go. Last season, he was a guest coach with Montreal. See, this is one of those guys. And this is another thing. They have guest coaches, and especially at the beginning of the year, my goodness, there's some 93 football players out there, and there's probably 101 coaches out there.
In the NFL, I see that, but I know there's a coach for everything, even a hold the football for extra point coach. You know, in the NFL they have that, but in the CFL, you know, I don't see them too. For every position? No. I mean, I think they have a 6 eight coaches usually on a regular CFL team, which in the NFL is like 20.
Yeah.
water boy coach, bench warm coach. Anyway, you know what I'm worried about when you're talking about all these coaches being hired, Frank? I'm worried about what the hell is O'Shea doing? Has he hired anybody out there?
We'll get to Winnipeg next. We're going to start from generally speaking, the teams that need more work than others, and see how those teams are doing. But the last thing I'd like to say about the Red Blacks is they brought in two more running backs. One is a 5'9", let's see, 5'9", yeah, and let's see, Michael Hayes and Eric O'Neill. And he's 5'10", and they brought them in. So, you know, these are a couple more bodies. Remember, they're gonna be reaching almost 100 players that are gonna come to camp in the spring of 2014. And these are just guys that they're bringing in with a hope of making the team. And in fact, every player that they've drafted, every player that they have right now, more than any other team in the league right now, has a hope of making the team by virtue of the fact that there aren't that many that have a lock outside of Glenn and Chevy. Would you guys agree?
Totally.
And Appel and Pottinger maybe?
Yeah.
And
I think Glenn, without a doubt. I think we already can see the fact that we got the Calgary coach to come along with him and help him out there. I think Glenn is going to be the key factor here in everything that this team does. What I'm worried about is that, you know, their backup. Who's the fella from BC again? I know.
Hang on, no, I'll get it. I'm just half as DeMarco, Thomas DeMarco.
I don't know. The more I looked at the chart of who they picked and what they got, and the more that's why I keep saying last place. Okay, I love the fact that they got Glenn. I mean, he is to me. I think he's one of the marquee quarterbacks. I know Townsend loves him. For good reason. The guy's a great quarterback, and I think he's going to do a lot of things for the Renegades that we're going to be surprised with as far as being the captain of the team. But it's still going to be a struggle for these guys. I don't see them winning maybe more than four games in the entire season, if that.
Yeah. It was funny because I was watching a Hamilton's High Cat thing way back, I think it was in... mid-90s, and their quarterback was number 9, Damon Allen, and I was like, Damon and Hamilton? No, get the... I'm like, no. I'm like, did Damon Allen play for Hamilton?
You got me.
Yeah, I was like shocked as shit. I'm like, Damon and Hamilton? I'm like, no, that can't be true.
Yeah, it's embarrassing that to know that. No, I mean for myself, I should know that. I don't recall him. Yeah, me? No,
he
I
was
don't.
In Edmonton.
That was
I remember him in Edmonton.
Yeah, no, he was in Hamilton.
In Edmonton, he started in Edmonton in the 80s. Then he was BC.
Yeah, he
is
played
this
for the Ticats in 92.
Related, Robbie?
Then he was
He played for the Ticats in 1992.
There you go. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, and he was Ottawa in 1991.
He was also a Rough Rider.
Yeah, Ottawa.
That was the John Candy era. That was a blur. I didn't even recognize Hamilton.
In 92, Ottawa had the best defense in the league.
He was a BC Lion, a Toronto Argonaut, Memphis Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's move on to the other team we said we were going to talk about. And I have to tell you, yes, guaranteed, Marcel Bellefeuille, my goodness, took questions along with Mike O'Shea about a week ago. So, yeah, they're working on it together. But like John, like you mentioned, there's not much news about other coaches, but I get the sense that the reason O'Shea is in that position is, for the most part, plus or minus a guy here or a guy there, I think he's keeping the coaching staff that Burke had.
That's
what it looks like.
Yeah.
That's what it's looking like.
Same with Jones,
and they wanted
too.
Somebody that would keep those guys for some reason.
Well,
are they locked in contracts? I don't know.
Maybe the GM, and probably he sat down with them, had a one-on-one, and perhaps liked what he heard from them, and maybe changed his mind about, you know. But he had to evaluate everybody, you know. That's the procedure. They have to sit down with all of them and go and see what's out there, who's interested. Stubler, whatever you want to call him, he had an interview with O'Shea, and then he decided to sign with Calgary, which was a little bit odd. But I guess, that again, that's just normal. I guess he wanted to hear what Mike had to say, and I didn't think that was going to work out. Plus, I think that's – I don't like him anyways. I'm glad he went to Calgary. But O'Shea, yeah, I think I'm kind of feeling bad for O'Shea out there. I thought he would – I would hear more things out there that he's doing.
Let's face it, John. I mean, let's not get carried away. I mean, it's the Christmas holidays, so you know, there was a there's probably a signing, like, you know, not that there's a signing moratorium for coaches at this time of year officially, but I believe there would be one unofficially. Everybody, you know, okay, we'll get started in earnest the first week of January. But they're going to have to move quickly because everyone has said and everyone understands and believes, and I know, John, you believe this as well, you want to have as much of your coaching staff in place and the players that you can sign signed before free agency, the clock runs out on you being able to sign your own guys.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you have your coaches, because then when you start searching for guys, and these guys are guys that obviously weren't on your team, free agents, the new coaches are coaches that you have that might have been with those players on teams, or even to the point where you have a coach who coached in the West as opposed to a coach who coached in the East. You know, they both know their division better. So the more people you have on board to get opinions and stuff, you know, the better. So, yeah, if Winnipeg isn't set, Edmonton, now I'm looking at Edmonton, and they haven't announced any major signing since the coach. The only major signing that they've, they brought in a Canadian fullback. Whether they're working under the radar and not letting us know what's going on and not making it public, I don't see them not publicizing when they hire a coach. I don't see them not publicizing when they, you know, when they bring in players, because the fans want to know they're doing stuff, right? They're trying to get their name out there.
Yeah, you think we're going to hear any player signings before the collective bargaining contract is signed? I don't know about that.
Your point about that, and there's a lot of validity there, because some players, some players will not be willing to sign a deal because they believe they'll be able to get more once the signing is done.
Right.
From the management side, they want to know how much money they can spend.
True.
So, yeah, there's a lot of validity this season is, you know, it's the gift that keeps giving. Not only is there a new team throwing a monkey wrench into the existing or the existence of the teams as they sat, now also you have this decision as to whether the players will sign on and we'll have a new, you know, CBA.
Right.
And that is causing, you know, I'm not saying that it's ruining the off season, because the off season is what the off season is. It basically isn't about playing. It's about signing guys. So, yeah, it just makes signing guys and deciding who you're going to sign that much more difficult. So it's a pretty interesting season. And that's another reason why you'd think that more minds would help. Because
yeah.
I get the feeling there's going to have to be some snap decisions made, right? Is that what, you know?
It's going to come down to a crunch time when everything does get done.
Yeah, and it's all going to happen at once.
including something that, you know, I wanted to talk about last show was the schedule. I mean, it's going to be interesting how they're going to, not to drift off the coach's topic or whatever, but we're talking about teams in general here, so I want to bring this up. I think the season openers, you know, I gave it a little bit of thought. I thought, what would a great season opener week be like for the East? And right now, if they don't make it, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto and Hamilton, they're nuts. That's all I got to say.
Isn't what you're asking, really, when you think about it, which team is best to sit out the first week?
Edmonton.
Okay. I might have said BC, which would probably piss Christopher off. Because
yeah,
I think it'd be a great...
you know what? You know what? You got a point there, Frank. I'm not going to argue that. I think you know, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg would be a good start. I think Calgary, Edmonton would be a good start. It's like we get the highest viewership and attention to the league on our Labor Day rivalry games. So why not start
the opening? Yeah, you give the start of the season the opening. The Labor Day flavor.
Yeah. You know, you jump start it rather than doing it.
And Ottawa and Montreal would be a great fit. Ottawa and Montreal
would
be great.
Oh man, the Montreal fans coming over and just starting their, you know, not having the so-called BC Montreal Labor Day rivalry, right? Who's heard of that? I mean, they were forced into that a little bit. And now that something, and yeah, BC is going to be the only one left out of this.
They're basically the ninth wheel.
Yeah, they really don't have a rival, do they? Well, Chris,
when you think
that.
About it, right? When you think about it, I'm sure Christopher would set us straight.
No. He's going to say Saskatchewan.
Well, put it this way. What's more of a rivalry, BC and Saskatchewan or Winnipeg and Saskatchewan? We know it's Winnipeg.
Saskatchewan.
No, it's Winnipeg.
No.
No,
totally
come on. The Banjo.
They have their Banjo Bowl.
Yeah.
So,
they have a bowl like the Argos and Hamilton do.
Right.
Yeah.
Ballard Bowl Cup trophy.
And especially the first year back into the Western Division. I can't see where, you know, like this year, even this year, that was the back and back with Saskatchewan and Winnipeg. That was a big deal this year. This past. That was a big deal. I think
they can skip the back-to-back and put that back-to-back stuff and put it at the beginning of the season.
I can see John, BC and Alaska being a great rivalry.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, no, I think we'll just leave the Lions. They can sit at home and watch the first week.
There you go. So Edmonton's not making any moves. We don't really see players joining in. We don't hear Jones's choices for, you know, assistant coaches. Is it because he's being asked to keep some of the coaches that are there now? We know from some of the news releases in Ottawa that there are Edmonton parts leaving. So, you know, there are replacements required. So I guess it's fair to say that Edmonton's not in a hurry before Christmas, and they haven't been. We've discussed the Red Blacks. We've discussed the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Working back up, I guess, then we go to Montreal. And in Montreal, how do you guys want to start the conversation? Troy Smith and Tanner Marsh signed. That's an important signing. What else do you see going on in Montreal that's important? Montreal isn't going to be changing head coaches. It appears the same guy is going to be the head coach and GM.
Did you hear that officially?
I'm asking. Does it look like that's the case?
The reason why I asked, did you hear that officially? Because this evening at dinner, you know, I stepped out with my sister-in-law and we met a fella who was a Montreal fan and had a casual conversation. We talked about the coaching and I said, yeah, Montreal's still looking for a coach. And he said, no, it looks like Pope is gonna is gonna be back. Oh, I call him Pope.
Okay.
He's going to be back.
Well, the Pope will... Yep.
Yeah, so...
Well, he will be back.
That's what I'm asking if you heard that officially.
I think my understanding is it's pretty much a done deal. And all they're going to be doing is probably replacing the guys that they lose. Pop might have to bring in maybe adjust the coaching staff with him at the helm and be able to still be a GM.
I think Anthony would be a good fit in as a coach. Anthony Calvillo. I mean, he's retiring, so I think he would be good as a quarterback's coach.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't he be?
I hope they do that. You know, I hope they keep him somehow in the organization. And Montreal. You know, I got nothing on Montreal. I haven't been paying attention to what they're doing. They're pretty quiet, though, aren't they?
They're very quiet, but Mike isn't. Mike Townsend, he can be loud. I'm glad he's not here today because, like, you know, keeps taking over the conversation and doing all. Oh, is that you, Mike?
Yes, it is.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
Merry Christmas, fellas.
Hey, how y'all Merry doing, Christmas, man? How y'all doing?
Did you make it in? Is it still cold outside, Mike?
Man, right now, I'm in Utah, or Ogden, Utah. It's not that cold outside. It's kind of warm, actually.
So Utah is still the dry state, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
When you go to a Utah Jazz game, they sell no beer.
Well, you know what? I'm not a Utah Jazz fan, so I be to the Jazz fans. But, yeah, still a dry state, man.
Wow.
Dry state.
Get out of there.
Can you? Is it illegal to have alcohol on your person at any time?
No.
No,
you can have it. They just don't sell it.
Now, when you say sell it, do they serve it at restaurants?
I think they do, Mike. I think I had a few friends who went down there, and they do have areas, like, you know how we have dry parts of Toronto where they used to be anyways, where they didn't sell, restaurants didn't sell liquor. And they have the opposite there in Utah where I think there are small patches. Like I think in hotels, they allow it in hotels there and stuff like that. But, yeah, I was just curious if it's still a dry state. I'm just kidding.
Yes, still a dry state.
Yeah.
Some areas you have where you can buy beer, and then some areas are just dry.
That's right. So speaking of dry, did you get any swag for your Christmas gifts, Mike?
That do who?
Swag? Did you get any CFL swag from anybody as a gift? Oh, you got the hat, right, from Bill Howell.
Yeah, got the hat from Bill Howell, man. Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to have to send you something Argo Dam when we get your address.
Oh, yeah, man. No problem.
Well, your daughter has an Argo onesie, right?
No, she has a Saskatchewan onesie and then the Argo hat.
Okay.
Well, hopefully she outgrows the Saskatchewan one real quick.
Well, I tell you what, it's kind of big, so she gonna have that one for a nice long minute.
There you go. So, Mike, we were talking about the progress the teams are making, talking about the swag that people have. We were talking about how Winnipeg and Edmonton and Montreal are probably sticking with the coaches that they have more or less and filling in the gaps made by guys leaving. How do you see the coaching staffs, or are we going to see a flurry of coaches being released and hired by teams like that didn't have good years?
Nah, you know what, Frank? I think everybody is kind of sick with their coaches right now. But I do believe after the 2014 season, if a lot of things doesn't change, like Winnipeg, no pressure on Michael Shea, so his job would be safe. Chris Jones' job will be safe unless he gets into it. The player's too tough and general manager can't take it no more. Then they might get rid of him. But
you nailed it, Mike. Jones is going to have big issues, man. Like me and Frank have seen this season, he doesn't get his way. He's kind of a little bit of a bully, when it comes to the coaching side of it. And if he starts to get players disgruntled up there by trying to push himself around, and, you know, if he's the new sheriff in town, it's my way or the highway, you're right. You're totally – I'm glad you mentioned that because nobody else is saying – everybody's saying what a great coach Jones is, but
I
don't love the guy.
Well, he is a great coach.
But people's guy, not so much.
Well, it doesn't really matter. That really doesn't matter. What matters is what he does in the framework of the team of coaches. You know, I agree with you, John, that he has a bit of a tough side. He definitely has a tough side. We just lost RJ. He has a bit of a tough side, and that tough side could be a problem. But hopefully for him and for Edmonton, that tough side will be an asset more than a deficit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, do you think that as coaches go, we talked at the during the season this year, and we all know Christopher isn't here, but I'll remind people of Christopher's opinion that defensive guys don't make good coaches. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I can understand why people would say that and why
people may think that that's the way it goes. A lot of it has to do with the fact that people are successful, and then people go, well, what were they before they were successful? And you'll have a run of offensive coaches having a good, you know, good history, and now with how many defensive coaches have been made head coaches, doesn't it seem kind of surprising? And maybe this might be the time when the defensive guys prove that, you know, they're in good shape.
Yeah, this is the right time because if you hire a defensive coach as a head coach, you got to remember the one thing that coach is going to bring, he's going to bring two elements. One, he's going to be a head coach, and two, he's going to bring his defensive style to that team that he just got hired by. So it's a plus in a way for a defensive coach to get a job. But on the other hand, being a defensive coach will kind of hurt you because that's the only thing you've been doing. So like in Michael Shea's case, he hasn't been a head coach, but he's been a defensive coach. He don't have any pressure because he's getting his job that he's going to learn on the fly, as they say, learn on the go. And then he get people with experience around him and they implement his defense to that Winnipeg team, it's going to do some great. It's going to do some good. You know, he just got to get the head coaching gig down pat. And, you know, he'd be all right. But me personally, I'm going for offensive coordinator for a coach. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, so you're another one of those who believes that the offensive coordinator is better as a I guess the inventiveness has to be on offense. We always hear, and some of us believe, that you can teach defense, but talent you can't teach.
No,
you know,
can't.
Skill. And offensive players are skilled players. Defensive players are guys. I'm not saying they're not skilled. I'm just saying that a lot of it is what they learn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Robert... RJ, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Did you get – I called you because I thought maybe you got bumped off.
No,
you're mixing
I don't
a drink in the background.
What's that?
I said, aren't you mixing a drink in the background?
No, I'm making my coffee, yeah.
Well, there you go. See, I knew it was him in the background.
at least, John, it wasn't your little disconnection thing going
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yo,
me.
Emery. Emery, you spent some time around coaches. How do you feel about a defensive coach as a head coach or an offensive coach?
What do you mean?
Which do you prefer? Is there a preference or does it matter? The individual determines whether they're a head coach or not, not whether they're a defensive or offensive coach.
Well, what do you mean by that, though, Frank?
Okay. Take, for example, Chris Jones.
Yes, who was the offensive
defensive coordinator for the Argos. Right.
He's the head coach now in Edmonton.
Right. Do you think he would make a better coach if he was an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator like he is?
I think it'd be better if his defense, because he's so used to the defensive plays, the defensive calls, the defensive everything.
Yeah, well, and that makes him a better head coach?
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm asking. I'm not telling.
It would be better if he was defense again. You know, it's like Michael Shea, special teams coordinator for the Argos.
Great example.
All of a sudden, boom, here's a head coaching job for you. Can you do it? Well, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean? I'm a special teams coordinator.
Okay.
I'm not a freaking head coach.
On the F-bomb.
Well, Winnipeg is a special team. Winnipeg is a special team. They're going to be...
Oh, God.
They're going to be... Just above.
John's on a roll.
They're special.
Okay. In real terms, the question is with O'Shea, he coached special teams.
Yes.
Usually, we're having a conversation here, defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. Most people believe that those are the two positions that prepare you the most for being a coach. Yes or no, you guys?
Sure.
I think so.
Mike?
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think so too.
You're part of the vital part of the play, right? You're calling out the most two most parts of the football game.
The most
itself,
players,
offense, defense, right?
You tell also the players
it's tough to be a special teams coach because you're basically teaching guys who are spending part-time, many of them part-time, working under you, right? And then not only that, guys with less experience and with less, shall I say, and this is harsh, but with less skill than the offensive and defensive coaches.
True.
Yep, true.
True,
so
I agree.
Maybe that's why Winnipeg wanted him, because he'll be going to a team that has a lot of lack of skill, and he might understand them better. But, you know, you wouldn't think
he's going
to
bring
guy...
some talent with him, too, from Toronto. He's going to bring a lot of free agents with him from Toronto.
Yeah, you're probably right. But at the end of the day, his lack of experience in running the talented players on the team, you know. God, I hate saying this because it sounds awful, but I don't even know how to say it better. But the point being that a lot of the special teams guys are guys that are on the roster and need something to do, as awful as that sounds. Outside of the guys that punt, outside of the guys, the kick returners and such. Right?
Yeah.
You know, your backup receivers are the guys in front, you know, in case there's a flub of a ball. You know, the sure-handed guys, the big sure-handed guys.
Well, some of the special team guys are on the offense, too. You know, like Chad Owens. You know, runs
yes,
the ball back
but...
For-
But there aren't that many Chad Owens on the special team.
I get it.
Yeah, not many. And you know, but you know, Winnipeg is gonna have they got a lot of problems because right now they got to find a quarterback. And until they find a quarterback, they're gonna have a lot of problems. That's gonna be their main one. The quarterbacks that they have, Goats, and I like Justin Goats because he's from my area. Max Hall, I was kind of highly on Max Hall when he first came to the CFL, but he played like an NFL quarterback. Yeah, I did. I was real high on Max Hall, but he played in the CFL like he was an NFL quarterback, and you can't do that. Not in the CFL, you can't.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about is we've got a coach in training. A coach that now has to learn not only the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, he has to learn both under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Let's move down the road with the next team that I'd like to talk about. We're working our way up to Saskatchewan. Okay? So this one here is a toss-up. I'm going to call it a toss-up, Hamilton and Toronto. Okay, so we'll take Toronto first since they suffered the inglorious loss in the Eastern Final. Now, they mentioned, I don't know, how important is this and why do you think this is? Dontrell Inman was released. A pretty key guy that I think Chiles made redundant and made expendable. What do you guys think?
Wow, Dontrell Inman was released
completely. An unusual.
Wow.
They didn't even keep him on. They didn't even say. They're not even pretending that they might sign him. They're saying they're basically saying they're not going to sign him, right, John?
Hold on, slow your roll. The dealio is that he's a free agent anyways, in what, a week and a half. Whenever they go on free agency, all of them. So. He wants to dip his toes into the NFL market, and the Argos are just kind of doing the favor right up front. And it's one of those things where there's nothing to lose here, really. If he doesn't get what he wants down south, then, you know, he's going to come back to Toronto, which is most of the time the scenario of what it turns out to be. So Chris brought it up. Chris Jones brought it up on Facebook that, you know, as he stated what I just said, you know, when the guy's going to be a free agent anyways in a couple of weeks, it's this kind of stuff is really meaningless to say that he's been released. It's more or less a little bit of news That's what I would say. But to say that, oh, no, we lost Inman. He doesn't want to sign with us again. The Argos released him. Nah, it's not one of those bad things. I think it's just the letting him try out the NFL market.
Wow.
More to come.
That's big. Yeah,
I mean,
you,
no one's
going to
sign.
What?
Mike, no one's going to sign as a free agent until the CBA contract is signed. That's
right.
The bottom line. All the agents are saying, why? What's the point of signing now? Unless you got the riders who are willing to say, you know what, we're going to give you top dollar right now, and we want you back on this team, which they did sign a couple players right after the Grey Cup. But that's it. After that, all
mm-hmm.
the agents are saying, you know what, the cap's going to go up. There's going to be some room for you. It's worth the wait. You know, $5,000, $10,000, and the CFL makes a big difference in these guys' paychecks. So if that's the case, I'm waiting. There's no rush. And it's not going to be
right.
one of those things where we're going to hear all these players being signed on day one. I don't think so.
It's not. And as far as Inman's concerned, he has a good shot of going down south and making a team. I always thought he was a good receiver anyway. So, you know, good luck to him, man. If he makes it, good luck. I hope he sticks. And if
Frank's
not,
right,
comes
though.
Back to Toronto.
Frank's right, though. I think Charles took his job. I think Frank is totally right on that. I think Charles took his job. And, you know, if it wasn't for Charles' couple of injuries, I think he would have been there full-time the whole season. So it's not a loss. It's not a loss. We still have Barnes. It's not a loss. I'm still good with it.
They signed two Ottawa GGs. One, Brendan Galanders. He's a running back, big kid, 5'11", 203 pounds.
Wow.
He'll be a non-import, of course. And Ezra Millington, wide receiver. You know, while we're in the subject of wide receivers, and he's a Canadian kid. You know, Ezra, you know, he could be he could be another great slot back for the Argos, even though he's being called a wide receiver. I think we all know that it's hard to be a Canadian wide receiver. Would you guys agree?
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Depends on who's your quarterback.
Yep.
It depends on who's your quarterback. If you got a quarterback like Ricky, I think it's good to be Canadian receiver. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because he likes to throw the ball.
Like Ray.
Yeah, and he's going to get it on your
chest. Yeah, you'd be all right.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you're in Winnipeg, not so good to be a receiver.
No way.
Well, not
you
right
know?
Now.
No.
That could change.
That could change.
Well,
so
I hope
the,
for Winnipeg Bomber fans it does change, Frank. It's tough. It's tough going through a season where you get this beautiful stadium and the team throws a dud. You know, it's sad.
Yep.
They had nothing to cheer for. At least they could have won a couple of games at home. I think they won what? One?
One
game?
Yep.
Yeah. It's rough. That sucks for me.
But you know what, though? In Winnipeg's defense, man, one thing I can say, even though they were getting hammered a lot, they never gave up, man. They played to the final whistle, man. And I give them credit for that because a lot of teams, man, just, you know, they put their hands on their hips, walking around. You can look at the body language and tell they want to be there after the second or third quarter. But they played all the way through it, man,
Wasn't that a testimony to Tim Burke that the players played for him and he just didn't have the tools to make it work?
Yeah. That's it.
I felt bad for Tim Burke. I really like that guy. I'm glad he's with Toronto. I mean, I still think he's a good head coach. I like coaches that just, you know, don't hide it. You know, when they say that their player screwed up, he says it. He doesn't say,
yeah, but he doesn't say it. Doesn't say it in a demeaning way.
No,
you know,
no,
he says
he
it
doesn't.
The business. You know, he doesn't rant at the guy. He doesn't, you know. I happen to think that a couple of really choice words in a press conference, if they're done in a nice, like in a professional manner, hurt a lot less than watching a coach yell and scream at a guy on the sideline.
True.
Uh-huh.
I love those halftime interviews, you know, when they come off
the field at halftime and they stopped them, and you know the reporter would say, "So what did you guys think you guys did wrong in the first half?" "Well, we sucked." "Well, we sucked, and we better come out playing better. That's all." That was it. You know, I love that kind of stuff. You know, he's not going to try to say, you know, well, they're a good team, and we're trying to get this done. We're trying to... No, we just sucked.
Yep, bottom line, we just sucked, and we got our butts beat. Ain't
yeah.
no good, plain simple.
Yeah,
and that's,
good,
and that's good enough.
Yeah. No, I like that kind of straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So, Winnipeg's loss. Toronto's game.
Yep.
Giddy up.
Now, let's move on to Hamilton. And in Hamilton, they signed 4 offensive linemen.
Yeah, because they got rid of Marwan Hage, the best center in the CFL.
They brought
okay.
in Mike Filer, Joel Reinders, who's no stranger, Landon Rice, and Carson Rockhill.
The change in Hamilton is beginning.
And they're all, but they're all Canadian. These are all Canadians, right? These are offensive linemen who are Canadians. Rockhill is a 6'6", 295-pounder from British Columbia. Rice is 6'6", 315 pounds from Brandon, Manitoba. Reinders is 6'8", 312 pounds, native of Oakville, here near where I live. And Filler is the tiny guy at 6'2", 300 pounds of Brantford, Ontario.
Wow.
Okay?
You know what they're
doing,
right?
These are all Canadian. So Reinders I recognized as an Argo, but he also was with the Browns and New York Giants. And, you know, they're big guys. And you know, if Manasseh was here and Christopher were here, they'd be reminding us that that's what it is in the Western Conference. And does it surprise anyone that after what happened to Hamilton in the Grey Cup, they're adding more beef to their lineup?
No, it doesn't. That's why I say y'all know what they're doing, right? they're building to beat the Western Division teams. I mean, look at the size, the height, and the size of these guys. You just see it: 6'6", 6'6", 6'8", and then you got a little 6'2", 300-pounder. I mean, come on, man. That's still a big dude on the front line, you know. So they are building up that offensive line, beefing that offensive line up to go ahead and continue with the West. Because that's all they really needed was a big offensive line anyway.
Yeah, and they're making a very important, in my opinion, they're making a very important move as early as possible. And they've thrown the gauntlet down, and if you're the Argos, Ottawa, and Montreal, you better go looking for some defensive big guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
But I think the most important move hasn't been made yet, and who's their quarterback? I don't what who's their
John,
quarterback?
John, it doesn't matter who their quarterback is, because to tell you the truth, John, they got half a quarterback on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
They only need half a quarterback.
All right.
He really got great mileage out of Burris. You know, he handled Burris with perfection, and I'm referring to Kent Austin. Burris came so close so many times to really being, I don't even know how to put it. This is another, I'm having another problem because I don't like doing negative stuff, but Burris was almost playing himself off the team, and you could almost see Austin, you know, pulling the strings and reining him in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he did a great job of that.
Yeah,
he
did.
It doesn't matter who Austin
job.
Gets.
He did an excellent job. So, you know, it don't matter who Austin get. They're going to play for him. That's all that matters. They're going to play for him.
And he is very smart as a quarterback.
Yep. And if you can get Burns to play for you the way you want him to, without having no problems, or getting rid of his behind, then you can coach any quarterback if that's the case.
and honestly, shoot, was he the reason why they lost the Grey Cup?
No, he wasn't the reason why they lost the Grey Cup. They just didn't have the size to compete with the Saskatchewan Roughriders through all 4 quarters.
And all of a sudden, they bring in 4 really big guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the other thing they couldn't deal with, and as much as this hurts to say, the Saskatchewan fans were worth a lot in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you jettison a quarterback who won you the division in the big game in the home in the other team's home turf here at the Rogers Center? You kicked the team's ass in the second half.
Yes, you did.
So, you know, I'm not sure.
I think Toronto didn't show up in the second half.
Well, yeah, okay, they didn't show up. Well, you know, I agree with you that they didn't show up.
They
could have done better.
They had a lead. They had control in the first half, and it went to their freaking heads. And they came out flat. You know, that's what it was.
Isn't that the point that we're talking about with Austin? In fact, I think it's fair to say that Austin outcoached Milanovic.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to where we were talking about earlier, which is, does it really matter who the quarterback is for Hamilton? Because
nope.
The controls are right there in Austin's hands. I believe the Argos needed a new defensive guy because I think the Argo offense was affected by the poor play of the defense.
Yes, it was.
Well, we had no running game. You know, we're not going to go backtrack.
That's a part of the problem too. But the fact remains, they couldn't stop Burris. They didn't have an answer for Burris.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an answer for Burris, you know, you don't have an answer for Austin. If you don't have an answer for either of those two guys, you're going to lose the game. And they did. So we'll see what the Argos do. Right now, they haven't done anything, you know, that jumps out. Well, we'll look at that. You know, we looked at them.
This will be a crappy season for Toronto. Let me just say it right now.
In crappy in the sense that could they be the ones that don't make the playoffs?
Well, I'm not going to go as far as saying that. I think
I know because
I think
you already said that Ottawa is a team that's not going to make the playoffs.
Right, right. And
but
I
there
think,
is the crossover.
I think just with the off-field distractions with the sale and the management and the ownership, you know, change that is coming, I think that's just going to be too much. And it could turn into a positive, but I don't think it's going to turn into a positive right off the bat. It could turn into a positive if they get the training facility and that they're going to be sharing with the TFC if MLSC ends up buying them, which I'm pretty sure is going to happen. I think the off-field stuff is going to be, you know, it's one of those downfalls sometimes. We'll see.
Okay, so Hamilton. We've got Hamilton. We've got they're set. They're set at head coach, and I believe they're set all the way down coaching-wise. Any disagreement?
Yeah, I didn't know. No disagreement on my end.
We're good.
So the Argos do have a new offensive coordinator. They're going to have to replace O'Shea. We all agree that that's not that critical a position, you know, special teams coach. You know, it's critical. Don't let me talk you into believing that I don't think it's important. I just happen to think that they filled in the more important role, which is the offensive coordinator. But they do have some work to do in the coaching. They also have, if they're going to let Inman go, and they've let him go, and, you know, they've lost Pottinger and Appel, two regulars, they've got some holes to fill. And, John, do you think those holes are going to have to wait to be filled till the, you don't think they'll fill any of them before the CBA is signed?
I don't think so, Frank. I think they're gonna wait to see what they do with the CBA and then the combines that they open up. I know Jim Barker feels very comfortable with the Canadian replacements that he has lined up. I think there's so many things at play here that have to fall into place before they can make any big decisions. I think there's just too much on the table that has to be decided. Before they're going to go start, you know, signing players. I think they got some time. I think every team is in that position, though, you know? Like we said, it's all going to be kind of down to crunch time. Everything comes out all at once. And that's assuming that they don't go into, that discussion, negotiation thing where it drags out for a few months and then it drags out before the season starts and
And that looms over everybody's head, and that becomes a topic of discussion. Are we playing this year? They still haven't signed. This and that. So it's going to be hard. I don't know what the Argos are doing right
that's
now.
That's why they need to go ahead and get the CBA done right now so it won't
affect
the season.
Because, get this thing over with.
If you have a CFL strike, oh, man, do you know how many fans, like myself, is going to be so upset I'm going to run my truck into Toronto and run to the front door office?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to really have a lot of upset fans, so you got to go ahead and get this thing done early, get it done quick, and let's get ready to rock and roll.
That's why the players feel that they have a leg to stand on here, to hold out, you know, just for those same reasons. It could be one of those ugly scenarios where we're not saying a lot about it because the CFL players have always been, you know, the friendly negotiation type where whatever the player, the owners give out, okay, let's take it because, you know, this league can fold. And that was the scenario every 5-6 years, right? So
yeah, but now, John, what's going on is now you've got to keep it. You're on a roll. The league is on a roll, and they got to keep the roll going. And the only way to get the roll going is the two of them can't play chicken. There cannot be a game of chicken, I think, is what Mike is saying. It better not turn into a game of chicken. Let's turn this into a real negotiation, a real discussion about, you know, the disparity between, you know, what the teams get and what the players get. And by that I mean there's extra change on the table. How much of that change should head, like, percentage-wise? I don't think the players should feel bad about asking at least 30 to 40% of what's gone up, and management keep the rest. And the management should be very happy with that.
Should
now,
be
if
very
the players
happy.
Say,
very.
If the players say we want 50%, and the owners say no, I think the players are going to be responsible for the season being held up. The players have no choice because of all the new stadiums, because they're trying to up the image of the game. You know, and there's a lot of things that CFL doesn't spend money on because they didn't have it. And some of that money has to go into promoting the league and creating the atmosphere in the stadiums that make them look more like big league. And that costs money at first. And I think if the league takes that extra bit of money and doesn't use it to help promote the league and to help get to that next step, then the league's in trouble. In other words, what I'm saying is 30 to 40% for the players, 40 to 50% for the teams, and the balance of that money going to reinvest in the league and to promote it as best as possible, whether it be through combines, whether it be, you know, scouring everywhere for players and setting up a system for finding the best players possible for the league, because nothing promotes the CFL better than guys like Carter, guys like, you know, CJ Gable. These new young guys, nothing makes the league better than that. They really do stir the drink, you know. They really do. Players that could play in the NFL coming here, finding them, convincing them it's a good idea to come here on the short term and have some of that little bit of money to help reinvest in the promotion of the league by getting, you know, players with extremely, extremely great talent. Like, I'd like to see a couple of really talented guys like CJ Gable or Carter, one or the other, a duplicate of that in Winnipeg. You bring a guy like that to Winnipeg, you know, however it manifests itself, it doesn't matter. They got to reinvest that money in the league, in my opinion.
They have to.
Are only going to be worried about the cap. That's the only thing that matters to them, and that's the only way they get to benefit anything else as far as what the money spent to advertising the team and stuff like that, I don't think they really care about that because it doesn't go.
No, I know, John, but there's going to be a math. There's a math that has to be done.
I get it.
Everybody knows how much more money the CFL has this year, right?
Yeah.
And now, I guess I'm trying to put a face on how, but you don't think that that it's just going to be a matter of them wanting half the money? Is that what you think?
No, it won't be. They're not going to ask for that much. I don't think they're going to ask for that much. I think they're going to ask for quite a big boost in the cap space, which, you know, gets divided out, and really which the senior players of this league are most interested in because it makes a difference to them. You know, the more longer you've played in the league, the more you get paid, the higher your salary goes. And in order for your salary to go up, cap space has to be made. And those are the guys who are – going to be the major vote in this whole thing. So I think the new guys, you know, to them, they just like the fact that they can play somewhere. So their vote is not going to be the crucial one here. I think it's the senior CFL players that are going to be the crucial vote in this whole thing, and I think they're going to hold out. I think they're going to hold out to say, why don't we hold out? It's the only time in the last 2 decades where we've even had a chance to be in this financial, you know, like the commissioner keeps talking about, you know, we're in this great financial situation and our league is just, the numbers are growing and da-da-da. If you come out talking like that every time, what do you expect your employee? It's like the Rogers employees, you know, they're saying that their shares of the company are going up, so they wanted a raise. Well, there you go. It's the same thing with the CFL players. You know, they want a raise.
Yeah, yeah, John, there's no question. But the question is, how much? Like, you know, do you think, like, because, you know, when you talk about, what is it, $50 million or so that TSN's paying for the TV rights next year, split now 9 ways, not 8, right? Whatever
right.
It is, you know. So, you know, 9 times 5, so that's about $5.5 million per team, something like that. I think they were saying even around there or something. You figure the owners are going to want to keep some of that, and if they keep half of it, that's let's say $3 million they keep. So that leaves about $2.5 million. Let's say $2 million for the players. So that's $2 million between 43 players. But you're suggesting that the top end players will get most of that money. So
yeah.
Really, what we're looking at max probably is a $2 million bump in salary cap, right?
Yeah. That would be a good figure to jump out there.
And
you know,
see, what's going to happen is the players, like, now I'm going to go back to the Williams deal. People under $50,000, their contract's going to go from maybe $45,000 to $50,000 to maybe about $70,000 to $90,000 a season. That's a big bump in salary. You know what I'm saying? It's not putting them in $100,000 a year range, but it's getting them close where they're making a nice, decent income. Because, I mean, shoot, if I was playing the CFL, well, I'll play the CFL right now for $30,000. You give it to me right now. Shoot, I don't care. You know, but if they're gonna give me the extra $20,000-$30,000, I'm gonna take it. You know, the new guys coming in is not gonna really have a say, like John said. But the veterans that been in there playing the game, that build the league, they're the ones that's gonna maximize from the bump in the salary cap.
Yes. So, you know, we're looking at and there are some schools of thought that suggest that you bring in an extra player. If you bring in an extra player, that player is going to be probably a lower-end player, right? Would that be fair to say that? Or a mid-range player, I guess?
Yeah, lower-end utility player that can play
50, 60,
different
right?
positions. Yeah. I mean, his salary is not going to bump up real that high. I mean, 9 times 10 is going to be a lineman that can play offense and defense anyway. So, I mean, hey, but a lot of these guys want that big bump in their money because they watched the Chris Williams deal. And then also last year, and they didn't really make a big deal out of it, but it wasn't this year. It was last year when Calgary was in the playoffs where John Cornish and a couple of other guys made statements that, hey, y'all have this little promotion, this kickoff, I guess it's the kickoff they have when you win $1 million or something like that. The guy won, and a lot of players asked the man to borrow some money.
Absolutely.
You know, John Corner say, hey, man, he's taking some of my salary, you know. So, hey, you owe me a couple hundred thousand, you know. So, you know, if they can pay a guy like me to come to kick a field goal $1 million, I mean, come on, you got to take care of your players, too.
Yeah, I think the owners have to show that they value their players on this contract that's coming up. It's hard when you say that your league is doing well, and then you're going to say, well, we can't give you what you really deserve. You know, and speaking of deserve, guys, I got about 10 seconds. Frank, it's happening. I'm hearing the beep. The phone number left off the hook
today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys. And, again, Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next show. All right, take care.
All okay, right, John.
See you later. Merry Christmas.
John left his phone on when he went out today, so it didn't recharge, so his phone was going to go, you know, down the drain. So we've got a salary cap in 2013. Mike, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. The salary cap is $4.4 million in 2013. So you figure if they add $1.5 million or $2 million, that's a 50% jump up. And I'll be back in about a minute and a half. Do your diatribe.
Yo, hey, y'all. How y'all doing out there? I want to give a shout-out to Ev. I want to give a shout-out to Sid. Merry Christmas, y'all. I want to give a shout-out to Germany that's on the check-in. What's up, Sabrina? Glad you're supporting the show. Chris Jones, where you at? Deb, where you at? You know what I'm saying? Where y'all at? Call in, you know. I want to give a shout-out to all the towns and family out there, the Bedford family, the Hope family, the CFL group. Merry Christmas to all y'all. My indoor players out there, BJ Hall, what up, though? Merry Christmas to you and your family. Give a shout-out to Bill Howe, to you. What's up, Vito? What's up, Shelly? What's up, Kelly Bell? What's going on with you? Just out here in Utah chilling, about to get my ride on heading to the West Coast. What's up, Will? What's up, Ant? What's up, Lynn? What's up, Big Mark out there to check in? Glad y'all supporting the show. Listen to your boy out here. Just giving a couple of shouts out to the homies.
There you go. I gave you your chance to give you a shout out. So we got a 4.4 million. I spilled something on myself. I was on fire, but I'm okay now.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you're all right, Frank.
No, I'm okay. You know, I probably need some plastic surgery, but that's okay. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So $4.4 million. When we said $2 million, I could see why when I did the math how Cohen is probably, you know, saying to himself, we can't increase the salary cap by 50%. And we did the simple math where a not-so-greedy player association – expecting only 30% of what, you know, what's coming in now, that wouldn't be, you know, too greedy, right?
No, I wouldn't be. Wouldn't
but
be
you
at
know,
all.
It's only 4.4 million right now, and how do you say 2 million bump to the owners?
Well, you know what, 2 million bump. Well, you know, Frank, the CFL, like John was saying before he left. You know, when the owners and the league comes on and be saying, hey, look, this the CFL is doing real well. This is what our numbers look like. You know, I think we're on an up and up, you know, promoting the league. And they're talking about the numbers that they're generating and they can raise their salary cap. A lot of people, the players are listening. And you know, the owners, for one, they're listening. So the
yes.
players are like, hey, look, if the league is doing so well and we can afford to bump the salary cap up a little bit. Okay, owners, what about fattening our pockets just a little bit? You know, instead of putting some in the left, let's throw a little bit in the right pocket also.
Well, you figure if our calculations are correct, and let's say they go with a $2 million bump, or let's say, mathematically speaking, a little bit less, they go from 4.4. Let's say about 50%, let's say about 40% up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even as little as 30% up, you know, go up 30%. That does mean every player gets to help the math out, every player gets a 30% raise. That's a good chunk of change.
Yeah, it is a good chunk. I mean, like I say, if you can go from a $40,000 rookie contract to a $70,000 rookie contract, that's good.
And it's not just that. It's what you've been saying all along. And RJ, jump in anytime you want, eh, bud? What you were saying a while ago about, you know, if you can sign a quarterback instead of for $500,000 or $400,000, six or somewhere around six, it really opens up the talent that's around. You know, it brings players in. And, you know, I hope the CFL league doesn't forget that the biggest days that I can speak of that the CFL had were back in the Theismann days. And the reason they were so big is that they were bringing in guys with a lot of respect coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm one of those believers that money gets money. Money finds money. So, in other words, if they spend money in the right place, it's going to make more money for them, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, Frank. And then especially with a lot of these free agent NFL quarterbacks that want to get a chance to play. I mean, you think of what a third stringer makes in the NFL. He doesn't make the big bucks. Or maybe your second stringer might be less than under $1 million. But you got guys that want to play, and what they're offering quarterbacks in the CFL nowadays is stardom, is third string money in the NFL. I mean, so you're going to get the Buffalo quarterbacks that's going to come to the CFL and look at the CFL closely and look at their salary cap, looking off the money that they're making. A lot of these guys playing football in the NFL, their agents are looking. The agents are doing their homework on the CFL, salary cap-wise and everything. That's why you're going to be seeing a lot of new faces this upcoming season in the league, because a lot of guys doing their homework and a lot of guys just want to have a chance to play. That's the main thing. You can make an NFL team and sit on the bench, but you want to play.
Yeah, but you know, when you say that, I want to add this, because for people who don't understand what you're talking about, don't understand the depth with which you're speaking, when you say a player gets a chance to play, what I believe Mike is saying, and folks, this is the part you have to wrap your head around. It's about length of service, or another term, length of ability to sign contracts. You know, if you're not playing, you're expendable. Third stringer in the NFL, there's always another guy that's going to come up that could be just as good a third stringer as you. And if you believe that, which I think it's true, you want to play so that you can make yourself not expendable. And if it means playing in the CFL at, let's say, 80% of what you could get playing in the NFL as a third stringer, or, you know, hopefully getting a first string job, once you're on the field, every guy feels that they can do what it takes to win. And that's the half of the conversation. And if they truly believe that, which I think every player has that in them, believes that they can win, once they win, or once they show they can win, or once they show that they're good players, they're creating a future for themselves. Because I don't think a third stringer in the NFL in reality has a future until he's out in the field throwing the ball, right?
Right. No, he doesn't, because you can get a guy that's on your practice roster, can have a good practice the whole week, and you have a bad practice, now you bump to the practice roster, and he's your third-string quarterback. Just like
that.
It can
happen really quick.
Really quick.
Without ever playing a down out on during a game.
Mm-hmm. All you got to do is look good in practice.
That's it. Well, you have to do that. But a lot of guys, you know, that's no guarantee. Just because you look good in practice doesn't mean nothing. But it means
mean
a lot
nothing
if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
So it's,
right.
You know, not playing on the field is a lose-lose situation, because you get the ball taken away from you, and, you know, you don't have the ball, and yet you can lose the ball that you don't have. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's the, I hope I'm not losing people when I say this kind of stuff. But the point being that without playing, you can't garner any respect. And respect is success, and success requires being on the field. So some of those NFL players were third stringers who never get to be on the field. Some don't get even enough reps to be even considered a quarterback. You know what I mean? You know, so basically, for 80% of what you could earn, think of it yourself. If you thought that you were going to be hired for a job, that you're just going to be hired sort of as a temp, right? You don't know that you're going to be a full-time person, right? You're under pressure to show that you can do something. But what if somebody doesn't shovel any serious work that grabs attention? What do you think your odds of staying are?
Yeah, right. It's not gonna be. They're not gonna stay there long. And I'm gonna give you a prime example of a player that actually played in the NFL, but was a practice roster player. He played a little bit of special teams. Corey Parks for BC Lions. He was on the practice roster. He spent most of his NFL time on the practice roster, and he did a little special teams, but it wasn't that much. When Corey Parks was able to get out that NFL contract to come to the CFL and play, look at what he did for the BC Lions in his first year. He was the best secondary corner on their team, if you ask me.
Because he had a chance to show what he could do. You can make a lot of great plays. They don't go nowhere. Because, you know, if you don't end up on the A team, if you don't end up on the field, doesn't matter what you do.
That's
why it's important that the league not be chintzy and not deny the players a raise or another player. Because I hear that another player would make a big difference in the CFL. I'm not sure I understand 100% why. I know that it means that you could have more depth, and then, you know, this business with a kicker and a quarterback and yada, 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 you know, all this stuff. And you know, you could carry maybe an extra running back, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, one more player could make a difference.
One more player could make a difference. And so, I said, with the Rays, you're going to see a lot of guys from the south of the border come north. It's going to happen. They want to play. They don't want to sit. They want to play.
And it doesn't hurt either every time we have a CFL player getting a real good sniff from the NFL.
No, it doesn't. It actually helps the league. It puts a bright light on the league. A guy comes from the CFL, and he's coming to the NFL, and he's a star. You know, first year, he just slammed it, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good bright light on the league.
Yeah, it's like Doug Flutie.
Oh, yeah.
Was in the CFL.
And then you got Cameron
NFL.
Wake for Miami. Look at him.
Yeah, Wake.
Mm-hmm. And then the guy in Seattle, the defensive back, what's his name, Brandon Brown, Brandon Brown, I think it was.
Yeah. Or even Jason Garrett. He was a third string here in Ottawa as a quarterback. He gets picked up by Dallas. He becomes a second-string quarterback. Aikman goes down with an injury. Garrett's starting quarterback for, I think, like five games. And it's like, you know, you were a third-string quarterback in the CFL. All of a sudden you get picked up by the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL, and you're a starting quarterback?
Right. And like I tell everybody, Frank and Rob, this is what I tell everybody as far as quarterbacks in the CFL, especially like a low draft pick, fifth, sixth round, maybe free agent. If you want to learn how to play the quarterback position, you go to the CFL.
Yep.
Because you're going to build your arm strength throwing on the big field. You're going to learn your mechanics. You're going to learn how to play the quarterback position because the game is much faster. Then, if you do go to the NFL, your mechanics has improved. Your arm strength has improved to go downfield for the long bombs. You're going to know how to read defenses, and you're going to know how to change the audibles on the offensive line.
Yep.
Now, an NFL quarterback coming to the CFL, we already know how they ended up with Akili Smith, Andre Ware, who else? A lot of guys like the guy that Dallas had, I can't think of his name, Anthony something. He went to Montreal, and they cut him in practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to learn how to play the quarterback position, you come to the CFL, bottom line.
So, interesting situation, and I don't, you know, I don't talk about the NFL that much. It gets dragged into the program, but I don't really talk about it much. But right now, on that subject, you've got that Cowboy Romo done for the season.
Yep.
What? I want to put a CFL spin on that. How well and how quickly could a CFL top, let's say a guy, like just for the sake of conversation now, okay, I'm not talking, you know, it's going to happen tomorrow. Well, if a Darian Durant was available and he signed with because I'm segueing perfectly on your topic you were discussing about quarterbacks learning their trade in the CFL, how quickly do you think he could adjust and be a quarterback for Dallas in particular?
How quick?
Yeah, how quick could he adjust?
He probably
could he start right away
because he's an amazing quarterback. He's an amazing quarterback. He can run, he can pass, he can throw, he can read routes, he can do anything. I think he'd do it instantly. He'd just go right to the NFL or Dallas and just be, boom, fit right in. He's an amazing quarterback. He won it for Saskatchewan, the Grey Cup.
And honestly, I'm going to tell you guys a story that I read about Darren Durant on the NFL page. The only knock that had hurt Darren Durant in the NFL was they questioned his leadership skills.
Yeah.
And Darren Durant is being watched closely by the NFL. Don't think that he's not. Because this past season, when I always go to Google some of the CFL players' names, the NFL has compared Darren Durant to Russell Wilson.
That's the reason I ask, and because the CFL this is a special situation. You've got a desperate team. I don't think there's a team in the past 8 to 10 years that at this point in the season, under the circumstances that they find themselves, being the Cowboys, I don't think there has ever been in the past at least 10 years an NFL team desperate for a quarterback and maybe open to be thinking outside the box.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And actually, since you brought up the Dallas Cowboys up front, that would be a good fit for Darren Durant if he was to go to the NFL. That would be a very good fit.
That's his kind of team.
And Darren Durant in NFL, he'll succeed.
Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt about it. He have a lot of CFL experience. And the thing I like about it, I didn't mean to cut you off, Rob. Everything that Darren Durant been questioned about, Darren Durant has answered to the fullest in a positive way. His leadership skills, he answered that. He need to run more. Oh, believe me, we've seen in the Grey Cup game and the playoff games what he can do when he get to running.
Yep.
Everything that Darren Durant was questioned about, he has accomplished. So the only thing with Darren Durant, his stock is going to rise up, especially if they repeat, which I think they have a better chance of doing. And if he have a good season, Darren Durant is going to be in the NFL before his career ends.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I think he is the next quarterback, in the CFL to be dominant. And as far as, being an experienced quarterback, there are other quarterbacks who are younger who will have a career. And the reason I mention this is because I wonder it would be – now, this is just me going, oh, this would be a great storyline, the reason I mention it, is I feel he's a good fit in Dallas, A. B, he's signed already by Saskatchewan. He's not a free agent, right?
Right.
So Saskatchewan would have to release him out of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And what if Saskatchewan had an agreement with them? And I don't know if the NFL, this is just me dreaming here, okay? Imagine he played for Dallas. And miracle of miracles, he wins the Super Bowl with Dallas. How much of a story would that be? The guy wins the Grey Cup with the BC and then wins the Super Bowl. You know, as much as it would hurt Saskatchewan off the, out of fear of losing the guy, I don't think it's signed that we'll release you, but you have to come back next year. You could play the rest of the year, and I don't know if they could do that kind of contract in the NFL. And I don't know if I don't think a player can leave at this point. Or can he to go there? But I guess what I'm saying is it would be an amazing story to see that guy have some success in the NFL the year that he won the Grey Cup.
Oh, man, it would be. It would be. And that would be a good – and actually, it wouldn't hurt Saskatchewan. It actually would bring Saskatchewan props up because we got a guy that came from Saskatchewan that was coached by Corey Chamberlain to win a Grey Cup, And for him to go down south and win a Super Bowl, oh, my gosh, man. Saskatchewan, that team would be put on the map.
And
for
the
real.
League.
And the league.
Mm-hmm. We know that the odds of that happening are slim and none. I get that. But But I'm just saying that it's a golden opportunity for a guy like Durant or another quarterback somewhere to really step in, because I happen to think, and I was looking at Romo's record on critical games, you know, season-ending games, in other words, elimination games. He's had in his career, they listed, I think, some 10 of them, and he's only won one.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been a winner.
Nope. And do y'all know what his salary is?
I'm afraid to even ask. Probably twice, maybe three times what the cap is in the CFL.
He just got signed last year. Five years, $100 million.
5 years is $20 million.
Yep.
That's five times, almost five. Well, in between four and five times what the cap is in the CFL.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put it in perspective.
Right, and then look at the numbers that you just said, Frank. You being a $20 million quarterback a year, and look at the numbers.
Unbelievable.
They are unbelievable, and that's not very good to be a $20 million quarterback.
No, I don't think so either.
Nope.
I don't know what they see in him. I'll be honest with you.
Jerry Jones is like some of the coaches. They're loyal. And Jerry Jones need a general manager. He's running his own team, so he needs a general manager with some football knowledge to bring in the right players. That's why Dallas falters every year.
Or as they say in a Mexican restaurant in Texas, some cojones.
Yes, some cojones, some big cojones. and until then, Dallas is going to be the same way. Sorry, Dallas Cowboy lovers, hate to tell you, but I'm telling the truth.
But that's the team I followed growing up. That's the team I like.
That's my team. My team's Dallas.
Yeah.
Well,
because
it's Garrett, because I knew Jason very well. So it's good to see him that he's up there and he's doing his shit, right?
Well,
yeah.
He's doing awesome. He's trying to, at least.
Yeah. If he can keep Mr. Jones out of his ear and out of his pocket, you know, out of his business, let him do his thing. Jason Garrett can take that team to another level, but he got to do what the owner says, because the owner got the bank.
Yeah, but Jason's father, I believe, is his father or his brother, Jude Garrett. He's, I think his father's a scout for the Dallas Cowboys, and that's how Jason got brought up to the NFL from the CFL, because he got released by the Rough Riders in 1992.
Great.
And,
okay, listen, we're running out of time, and I don't mean to cut you up. Well, I do mean to cut you up, Rob. I want to get into Calgary here before the show ends. We've only got a minute or two left. Stamps, they signed Arthur. Great receiver. Good move for them. Stubler joins them as the new defensive coordinator. You know, Stubler, Argos, he has a long history. You know, Calgary's pretty much done what they need to do in the offseason and now start signing their free agents and or filling in the gaps that they find in their lineup. How do you think they're set in the offseason and what they need to do?
Oh. Go ahead, Rob. You can have that one first, bro.
What's that?
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Mike. We got a minute left.
Go ahead, Mike.
What
I got lost on that whole thing, so...
Thanks, buddy.
They signed Jabari Arthur. I liked him as a receiver. I'm glad they got him, kept him. You know what I'm saying? Calgary, they pretty good. They just got to get over this hump in the playoffs. I think they didn't really lose too much, but they got a lot of room to improve. And then you got Stubler. So, I mean, you're gonna improve your team a little bit. They just need to get that third-string quarterback in. That's all.
Yeah, they've got to replace the one that they've got to replace the guy they lost, and the guy they lost is going to have to be replaced with somebody at the very least can compete with Tate.
Yep.
Because if they don't get that, they're going to be in trouble because they're going to need a plan B.
Huffnagel's still the head guy out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though we agree that Tate probably won't be the number one quarterback. But they're going to need somebody to bring somebody in that's better than Tate, equal or better, that can stay healthy.
Do you think they bring Kolaris in?
Nope.
He could end up anywhere. Do I think that Calgary's going to go after him? I don't think so, because I happen to think that whoever buys Kolaris is going to have to spend a lot of money. We got to go. Listen, thanks for joining me, guys. Robbie,
right.
Mike, we'll see you all again on Friday. Have
all
a great night.
All right.
Have a good
Red
night.
Racks, baby. Red Racks.
Candid Frank Live. You're on Blog Talk Radio. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in.